while John's on as well, I want to recognize we have some guests in the back there, past Councilman Dale Dukes.
Yay.
Welcome, sir. And Representative Tim Dukes. Glad to have you guys.
Hey, good morning. Here for the EMS South Coastal Station number 105. The engineering department opened bids for Sussex County Emergency Medical Services South Coastal Station 105, project 14-05 on December 11th. There were a total of 8 bids submitted, and a copy of the bid summary was in your council packets. The project scope involves the site work and construction of an approximate 3,400 square foot paramedic station. The pre-bid meeting was held on November 20th, 2014 in County Council Chambers. Contract term is 105 consecutive calendar days. State of Delaware wage rates will apply on this project. Our lowest responsive bidder is RBCI Corporation of Easton, Maryland, with a bid of $497,660. The engineer's estimate for the project was $479,662. And we checked the references of RBCI Corporation, and all of them stated that the work they've done in the past was completed satisfactorily. And if there's any questions, I have a motion.
Question, Council.
It kind of,
Wilson.
I'm kind of thinking here, why has it gone up so much since we built the Laurel Station?
Why is it what?
Why has the cost gone up so much, sir, since the Laurel paramedics? We built the paramedic station, what, 200 some thousand? And here we are, 400 some thousand? We're almost doubled the price here in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, the EMS station 106, I know, came in. The bids came in at $478,000, so we're not far off from 106. I was not affiliated with 102, so I'm not sure what.
That's a lot of difference.
What the price
you
was
check it, and you'll find it's a lot. It's at least $200,000 more. We're really getting out of sight here on these buildings for some reason.
Is there a difference in square footage or anything between 102 and this new one?
I think there's much in one. There's 106 is bigger than 102, and this 105 has a third bay on it, so it has a bigger garage. It has a third garage bay.
We're going to put more vehicles in there. That's what we're going to do.
Extra equipment and a reserve vehicle.
Here comes the cavalry.
I see all those shining armor. Hey.
We just do what he asks. We bid what he asks.
Sam, Bobby screamed over some on the record. The Laurel Station, if you look, it was more than 280. So it was over 400,000.
Yeah, we had to pay state wages.
It was cheaper to start off with, but we got in the middle of it and had to pay state wages. So, and when you look at the when you look at the station between 106 that we just built in Long Neck and this one has one additional bay because we run a unit down there in the summertime, so it's one bay bigger, so it's pretty well in line with what the.
That means more employees.
No more than what we have today. It's just we have to add an extra unit in the summertime down there to handle the call volume, and plus everything out there is a long transport time to the hospital. So that's why we have to have another bay down there. And our fleet's really geared around now staying inside, not sitting outside when it's idle.
Now, does that include the landscaping, too, 400 some thousand?
That does not include the landscaping. They handle the landscaping on their own. It's not part of our contract.
Who handles it on their own?
The EMS.
Yeah, we usually go around and get the community involved, you know, somebody of local business, and get them to, like over in Laurel, the turf company out to Bethel donated the sod and we laid it down ourselves. So we're trying to involve the community in the project.
Well, they've got it on bid, though, haven't they? We've got that landscaping on bid.
There's an allowance in there.
Site work, yes.
Yeah.
Site work, yes. Okay. Landscaping as far as shrubbery, flowers, mulch, they handle that on their own separate. But all the site work as far as the vegetated channels and that's all included in this contract.
Maybe I should restate my comment here. Is the site work included in this cost?
It is.
Okay.
And keep in mind that cost is really dictated by what soil conservation tells us we have to do.
Oh yeah.
And they tell us more and more we have to do every day.
And you know how those people are.
Half of soil conservation problem.
Regulators.
Any more questions, Council? You have a motion, sir?
I do. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Project 14-05, Sussex County Emergency Medical Services South Coastal Station Number 105 be awarded to RBCI Corporation of Eastern Maryland at the bid amount of $497,660.
Pleasure, Council.
Make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Merry Christmas.
Next, sir.
You get to see
on
me?
My calendar.
You just don't get to see.
I got one. I'm on my desk. Okay.
The next item I have is substantial completion of the records management roof replacement. Project number 1408. I'm here before you this morning to request the council grant substantial completion to project 1408, Sussex County Records Management Roof Replacement. Project bid date was September 24th, 2014. The low bidder was CTA Roofing from Newark, Delaware at $107,000 even. Notice to proceed was given on October 29th, 2014, and substantial completion was granted on December 10th, 2014. We have a change order request number one in the amount of $3,457 for additional blocking for the coping due to additional thickness of the insulation and the poor condition of the precast concrete caps on the outrigger walls. Bringing the total of the contract to $110,457, still under our engineer's estimate of $120,000. And the contractor warranty dates will extend 1 year from the date of substantial completion, and warranties from the suppliers or manufacturers shall remain in effect for their entire specified lifetime.
You have a motion?
I do.
I have a question. So I guess you put the motion on the table first.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective December 10th, 2014 for Sussex County Project 1408, Sussex County Records Management Roof Replacement, to CTA Roofing, and that final payment be made and any retainage be held until the final balancing chain order is approved and the punch list completed in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
Pleasure, Council.
I think make the motion. That,
motion, Mrs. Deaver. Yeah.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Questions?
Yes.
Mrs. Deaver.
Maybe you need to educate me a little bit on these. I know since I came into council, you've been coming to us with rebates and lower costs than we thought we had to pay for different projects, but now it's going the other way. And so I'm just wondering, can you explain to me how many of those can we sustain? In other words, our contract must allow for some expansion, but how much?
We do allow usually a contingency on our items, but this one is actually under our contract bid.
Okay.
By about $10,000.
Oh, it is under.
This one is under. The other one is over. We figure we're probably over because the contractors aren't quite as hungry as they were on
MS
106. But we do usually allow for some contingency in there, and I believe they budget a little higher than what we think we're going
to. So we're in good shape then, is what you're saying.
It's paramedics.
Mm-hmm.
Questions to council? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bob Stewart, lease renewal at EMS Station 101.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Morning, sir.
Morning. I come before you today to seek approval for a lease extension at Paramedic Station 101 in Lincoln. This is a station we've been at now for about 21 years. We're seeking a five-year extension. The lease has been thoroughly reviewed by my staff and vetted by Mr. Moore's legal firm. Any updates, changes, and revisions have been made to the lease to bring it into compliance with what the county council requires, including one thing that we added this year was an opt-out lease, which we're adding to all of our leases. They come for renewal, and this gives us the option to opt out if we desire, not just based on funding. A funding opt-out clause has been in every lease that we've had, at least since I've been around. So I'm asking for approval of a five-year lease extension. You've all got a copy of the lease. It's been in the
Is the price going up?
Price is going up, yes.
How much?
Asking for 3% per year.
How much is this year?
It's going to be $1,074 to start. $1,074 per month to start.
Per month.
Well, if the market reverses, would the price go down?
I haven't seen it reverse.
You know, I mean, cost of living.
We could ask them to do that on the next renewal.
I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I'm just curious. Yeah. Would we benefit the other way? I guess not.
I'm just glad it's not at the beach.
Question to council.
Just how many do we own nowadays?
We own Medic 102 in Laurel, Medic 106 in Long Neck, Medic 108 at Cinderbury.
That's three. How many, total, how many do
we'll
we have
in
now?
105 in Millville, so it'll be four. We don't. We currently lease 103 and Spec Ops down in Dagsboro, mm-hmm. the 104 100 station over in Lewis, and the Bridgeville station, 107, and the Blade station for supervisor on the west side.
So out of the eight stations, about half of them are owned, half of them are rented. Are we moving towards trying to
replace all of them?
Own?
Yes.
To move to an ownership position?
Yep.
And
we
the
get
future.
The 105 station built. Our next project might be to move forward with a station over in Lewis to replace the expensive rented station over
I'm
the
just
beach.
Wondering if we have a plan, long-range plan.
We have a 10-year plan.
Okay.
And Mr. It has been reviewed by Mr. Lawson, I believe Mr.
Might not be our 10-year plan, but it's
But it is a 10-year projection.
I knew there was
a
plan.
Like to accomplish.
Yep.
Any more questions to council?
Mm-mm.
You have a motion, sir?
I have a motion that Sussex County Council approve the lease agreement between Lincoln Community Hall Incorporated and Sussex County, Delaware for the use of a portion of the building owned by them as described therein by the Sussex County EMS as Paramedic Station 101.
Yes, so moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second, sir.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
We have motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Chris Keeler. Discussion of chicken house assessment.
Yeah.
We can't own it for 12,000.
Morning, Mr. President, members of council. Mr. Lawson asked me to come in today, speak to you guys on poultry house assessments. I have a brief PowerPoint to go over as soon as Chip gets set up here. Once we're done, Ed, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Get our high-tech screen working there.
Was there a reason given, I mean, by Mr. Lawson or whoever? Why were we looking at it? Why are we having a conversation?
Did something come up?
I'm just saying, is there an issue with it, or just?
I made a request.
I think Councilman Phillips asked it to on his list.
Oh, okay. That's what I was trying to figure out. What
the farmer on the council asked for it.
And
okay. I believe we all received a petition that had been circulated and signed by probably hundreds of area poultry growers and those affected by the industry. As a result of that, I talked to Mr. Lawson about our role in the property taxing of poultry houses. And just for clarification purposes, I thought it would be good if what Mr. Lawson and Mr. Keeler shared with me was shared with the public.
Sir, you got the tape. You got it.
Okay, currently in Sussex County, all poultry houses constructed since 1974 are priced at $1.75 per square foot. Now, this value was established by the H.L. Yeo Company in 1974 during Sussex County's last reassessment. By comparison, if we look at the other counties here in Delaware, you can see Kent County, they priced their poultry houses at $2.96 a square foot. Newcastle County, $5 a square foot. As I said earlier, Sussex County, $1.75. And looking outside of the state, Worcester County, Maryland, $5.46 a square foot.
Are they all locally owned? I mean, they're all individual ownership,
yes.
In other words. It's not, they're not connected to the big company.
That's
like
correct.
The one that bought out, the one in Harbison.
No,
okay.
These are all.
So this is independent.
Independent, yes. Mm-hmm.
Chris, not to interrupt you too much, but
yes.
Those numbers, are they apples for apples, or are there mitigating factors that?
No, Kent County, they assess property. They are at 1987 values. 60% of that is what they use as their assessment.
60%?
Yes, 60% of 1987 values. Newcastle County, they are 100% of 1983 values. And Worcester County, Maryland, well, all of Maryland, they're on a three-year, I believe, rolling assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And do we have a percentage tied to ours? 175?
We are at 50% of 1974 values.
That's including houses and everything else, right? That's not one just chicken houses.
That's everything. Okay. That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, for example, a 45 by 600 poultry house measures 27,000 square feet. To determine the assessment, first we multiply the square footage by the established price of $1.75. We come up with $47,250. Sussex County uses 98% of the calculated value to determine the appraised value. We take that 47,250 by 98%, which equals 46,305. For assessment purposes, the total appraised value is 46,300, and the total assessed value for determining taxes is one half of that appraised value, which would be 23,150. Okay, if we look at this by school district, the annual Sussex County tax bill per school district based on that assessment of $23,150 for a 27,000 square foot poultry house. You can see here on the outside, this would be the total tax bill in this line here for the county. No matter where that poultry house, school district that it is in, the county receives $103.02 for that poultry house. There in the middle, Sussex Fotech would receive $63.15. And there you can see the individual school districts here in this line. It can range anywhere from a high of $855.62 for the Laurel School District. The low end there would be the Indian River School District, $623.43.
How's that figured?
That is based on the school rate.
Right. I wondered
each district sets their own school rate.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. Now, if we want to compare this with Kent County, that same 45 by 600 poultry house measuring 27,000 square feet, to determine the assessment, first we multiply the square footage by the established price that they have of $2.96 per square foot. Take that 27,000 by 296. $79,920 is the total. Again, Kent County uses 60% to determine the assessed value. $79,900 by 60%, $47,940. The total assessed value for determining taxes is rounded down to $47,900. Now, same thing here. We look at the school districts in Kent County. Again, the total here on the outside, based on their tax rate in Kent County, they would pay $159.51 no matter where that poultry house is placed in Kent County. To their VOTEC, they pay $65.72. And as you can see, their school rate is pretty similar to what it is here in Sussex County as far as the value. They go from a high of $872.50 in the Capital School District and a low of $591.57 in the Caesar Rodney School District.
But that's not based on property values?
It's based on that assessment of $47,900.
I noticed one thing you said, value.
Hmm?
What happens when these chicken houses are no longer up to date and they're no longer used?
Our assessors would go out, look at the chicken house, determine if that value needs to be reduced. And we would do that if it warrants that reduction.
Well, if they're not used, they certainly warrant some kind of reduction.
Yes.
What kind of reduction if they are no longer in production?
It could be depending on the state of the chicken house, you know, how bad a shape it's in or anything. It could go anywhere from 50% of the value all the way down to 10%, I've seen. It just depends on... The assessor makes that determination.
But it's not on whether they're producing chickens or not. It's on the condition of the building. It's got nothing to do with whether you're producing chickens or not, gentlemen.
Usually if it's not producing chickens anymore, it's usually because it's fallen out of...
Right, but it could be a 10-year-old chicken house, and because the guy's not growing any product or any chickens, he's the value still is in that house is still high. I mean, it's not going to be
still priced at $1.75.
It's got nothing to do with chickens. We don't.
It does have something to do with chickens because I've grown a few.
Well, maybe to you.
And your house is in top peak condition all the time in order to be competitive with your competitors. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're not competing, your chicken house, it doesn't matter if it stays up or not. So what does it do? It goes on down. And you don't have that income coming in. So it's a different story. It's not in the same story as when you got chickens in. I can understand.
Yes, and if necessary, we do make that reduction.
Yeah. Yep.
Do we do the same thing for commercial buildings?
Yes, same thing for houses, too. If no one's longer living in the house and it's, you know, beyond repair, we will certainly mm-hmm. reduce the percent good on that mm-hmm. and lower the value.
Mr. President, what's the question?
Any more questions to council?
Last slide here. Just had a recent building permit taken out for 3 poultry houses on Seashore Highway near Bridgeville. It had an estimated cost of construction of $324,000. Just to let you know, Sussex County has those 3 poultry houses assessed at a total of $69,450.
Mm-hmm. You say we're losing them? That being taken?
No, we are valuing them at those houses at the $1.75
a
square
right.
foot.
I thought you said that you were losing those.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Any questions?
So it appears that it's if you're a chicken, you're better off in Sussex County. Because you're living cheaper than you are if you're in Kent or Newcastle.
Yeah, very cheap. Very cheap.
Not only that, George, you get the same assessment for your home. So you can classify yourself as a rooster.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, there's like a little elephant in this room. I want to make sure that it benefits local folks. I mean, we have a lot of foreign folks coming in buying up chicken plants and so on and so forth. Would it be... Well, it doesn't sound like a very nice question, but I'm going to ask it. Anyway, is there any way to be sure that it's local people that are getting the benefit of that and not North, whatever, Korea, those Koreans?
That's a chicken plant. We're talking about the
chicken. I know, but don't they have poultry houses also?
No.
Can we discriminate against foreigners?
Chickeners.
I guess
that's
her question.
Mm-hmm. Farmers.
So they are not involved in this at all because they have come in and bought one, you know. So
I don't think we have a separate tax for people who are foreign-owned companies or – no, I don't think that's the case.
Uh-uh. No, we do not.
Well, I'm asking because it's what's going on right now. That's all.
And any assessments have to be consistent across the board.
Okay,
gotcha.
Well, I got you.
Any more questions to council?
We have to adhere to those established guidelines set in 74.
Mr. President, a couple gentlemen who actually started this conversation about 4 years ago, I believe, in a meeting with Secretary Ed Key, I believe Mr. Lawson might even have been a part of that, and you are here today. Could I ask them to come up? They do have some specific numbers, which I think could shed light on the concern that has led to this petition. I think your presentation is very good, and a lot of questions could have been answered. But Mr. Donaldstein and Mr. Dennis Hearn have come at my request.
Mr. Moore, is that?
This is not a public hearing, but as president, you do have the right if you want someone to add additional information.
How about we do one of them can come up? How about we cut her in half? Whoever wants to be the spokesman, please come on down.
Dennis, are you here? Dennis Hearn?
Apparently not.
They're flipping a coin.
They're debating on who's going to be the spokesperson.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Or easy. Whoever wants to come forward, please come on down.
Going once, going twice.
Does anyone care to speak?
No.
You're certainly welcome to come up and present if you'd like to.
Here you come.
Here comes somebody. Here comes somebody. He must have lost a coin toss. Good morning, sir.
How are you? I'm Charlie Hudson from Laurel. I have 3 poultry houses. The grievance that we have is the formula that's used to tax the poultry houses. We have people in the area that have other businesses that are not taxed on, they're taxed by their profit, not by what they have as far as buildings. You can have a poultry house and actually go broke. So you're not making money on it, but you're still having to pay the taxes mm-hmm. on that. I'm not much of a public speaker, but the numbers dictate that just because you have a poultry house mm-hmm. doesn't guarantee that you're going to make money.
Right.
But the taxes are still there, and we would like the formula changed so that...
Let me just add, what formula from who? You just saw where we had the state is involved, the county's involved, and the schools are involved.
Right.
Who is the tax problem with what you're alluding to?
Well, what other business do you know that if you don't make money, you still have to pay taxes? You
ever had rental property?
I think they all.
There's a lot of people out there that don't make money on their investment. No matter, we don't tax on your profits or your lack of profits. The county... We appraise the real estate. That's all.
The building.
Mm-hmm. It's just on the building.
That's all we do. Yeah, we're not involved in anything other than what you saw, $103.
If an insurance agency was right next to a poultry farm, how would you tax it?
Just the building and the land.
Just the building and the land.
That's all.
Sure. You don't tax.
No, that's state income tax.
State taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're
state taxes. I mean, either an income tax or a gross receipts tax.
Before you were interrupted, you were almost ready to say that you felt like the formula should be what? Did you have a example or a suggestion?
No, I just don't think it's fair to pay a tax on something that may not have any profit to it. Mm-hmm. We can't stay in business if the taxes continue to rise. Mm-hmm. You've got to offset your deficits with income, mm-hmm. and if there's no income to offset that, then we can't stay in business.
Right, but we don't tax income, so we don't. Yeah.
I see where he's going. I think I do. It's like a toolbox tax. In other words, a mechanic goes to work. If he doesn't work that week, he doesn't pay any taxes. If he works that week, he pays taxes. And when you're in business, you should pay taxes. If you don't, not in business, it should be tax-free because you're not really making any money.
Right.
And if you had to pay taxes on your toolbox when you're not working, you better sell your toolbox, and then there won't be no work done at all.
Well, this is the bottom line is what it's going to come to.
Yeah.
We're driving the poultry industry right out by the taxation.
But ours are lower than the other two
yeah.
counties.
But it's not Sussex County overtaxing you. From the chart we saw here, we are in the whole Delmarva Peninsula, the cheapest place to have a chicken house is in Sussex County based on property taxes. Income tax is a different story. So, or the school taxes are high, but we can't control it. We don't control those.
Who does control the school taxes?
State
school
board.
There's a state representative.
Well, we do control. We do control the assessment. And back in 1974, the assessment was set at 175. I saw some statistics and even some receipts from folks who had built chicken houses back then that indicated that it was lower than 175. 154 was one example that was given to me by a contractor. That is where our role has come into this, because everything, whether it's the school tax or the county tax, emanates from that assessed value. And if that number...
As does a tax on any structure, though, right? I mean, not just a chicken house.
But the chicken house number is driven by the 1974 assessment of 175, and it was suggested to me, and accurately, I believe, from what I've seen, that may have been artificially inflated at the time. And if so, if the number should have been, say, the 154, which was shown to me, then there may, maybe a 12 or 13% reduction due based on the assessed value. Now, the question that we're going to have to answer is where is that money going to come from? Because we've got school districts depending on that money coming in, year out. It's part of their long-range budget plans. Is it going to come from the homeowner? Is it going to come from the state, which is claiming they're broke? That's a difficult problem to this equation.
Well, help to answer that question,
Wilson.
Vance, is known as referendums. So actually, when you say that the county raised your taxes, we don't really raise your taxes. The people, every person raise their own taxes, because every school district has a referendum. And if they feel they'd like to have a better school, they go out and vote for a referendum, and they raise their taxes. So actually, every individual raises the taxes. It's actually, the council here is not to blame for raising taxes, in a sense of speaking. So actually, your biggest tax is your school tax, matter of fact. It's probably 85-90%. So, and it all goes right back to the public who does the voting. So they're going to raise the tax.
Your focus is more on not the county, but on the state.
Well, I can
probably in the way they do it.
I understand why it's here, because assessment of our assessment, it helps when they go to vote. They take from the chickens who don't go to school and raise the taxes on them. And I think that's a little difference to me in farmers that has a tractor or whatever piece of equipment he has. Why are we taxing those pieces of equipment for them to work with? That's what I can see your argument. I really do. And I see. And I thought a lot about this.
Well, good. Because we have too.
Yeah.
And we've not come up with a good conclusion.
Yeah, we still haven't.
But we're still having to pay the taxes.
I understand.
And it's cutting our bottom line to where it's very marginal.
Probably the most dishonest thing about raising taxes is people can live in a district 24 hours, just stay overnight, and they're allowed to go vote the next day with really hardly no identification to a school referendum, which is your highest tax in Delaware. In the county here. So that's not really fair when you really stop thinking about how that's raised. So it's really a bigger problem. You need to go almost back to your school district and say, let's get this thing fair. Let's have these people really registered before they can vote and become part of the community. That's the way I look.
Well, if everybody's paying their fair share, it wouldn't be such a burden on us.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. It's true.
But this is not what's happening.
Thank you, Mr. Hudson.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Another waste of time. Grant requests. Mr. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first one is Delmarva Teen Challenge. They're requesting $10,000 to offset the cost of the rising number of individuals that they're helping due to their addictions. They have had 154 men graduate from their one-year residential program. Is somebody here to speak on their behalf?
I think Mr. Carey is here. We moved him from the agenda. Mr. Carey, are you here and prepared to maybe present? I think we've got about 5 minutes, is all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate the time to share. And is this in reference to this grant?
Well, not so much the grant, but what you were going to talk about earlier, I think it'd be an appropriate time to talk about now.
Well, I probably went into too much detail for this.
Mr. Carey.
I'm lost here. You're talking about when he was on the thing way back at the beginning of the thing, we moved him here. Okay, I'm with you. Sure, help yourself.
Okay. Since we've come here in Sussex County and Seaford 6 years ago, we planted a faith-based ministry called Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge, the name is somewhat of a misnomer, as it started out in 1958 up in New York City to urban youth. The gentleman who started that program, Pastor David Wilkerson, found out that it was drugs and substance abuse and alcohol that was causing these urban kids to commit crimes. So we opened up a residential program. That one program has turned into over 340 here in the United States and 1,100 globally in 93 countries. Delaware, being the first state, is the last state to get a Teen Challenge Center. The name was branded so much that they kept the name Teen Challenge, but our average age is around 28 years old. So we service people in Sussex County and on the Delmarva Peninsula, 18, 19, and above. These are folks that have either gone through other 30-day, 60-day, 90-day rehab programs to no avail. They come to us broken, and we offer the only long-term residential program to combat lives that were on a ruinous course, lives that have rightfully or wrongfully so been given up on, because of their addictions, and we take them in And we love them, and we give them seven times seven as far as forgiveness. And we take them through Teen Challenge Accreditation Curriculum, which is over a 55-year period, classes on substance abuse, addictions, anger management, rebellion, how to submit to authority, getting to know yourself better, life disciplines. And then we also go through faith-based curriculum, which has to do with a relationship with God. And as a result of that, over 55 years, Teen Challenge is the number one rehabilitation program in the world, with a 56-year documented success rate of 86%. Our center in Delaware over the last 6 years has graduated this month 155 men, and we have above the national average of an 88% success rate. That means when people come to us, and 75% of our constituents, residents, come from Sussex County, that come into our program broken. And I have one here today, I don't know if there's time, but I would. You need to hear this testimony. But he comes from Sussex County, and he came in broken, and he's been with us now going on 2 years. Came in a broken man, went through the program, went through six-month internship several weeks ago. I had the honor and pleasure of marrying him. He met a lady in church. And so this thing not only impacts one person who's broken, but it impacts families, and it impacts destinies and things that those people do in the community for the future of themselves, their families, and our communities. We've shut down four crack houses on 3rd and North Street. There's been gangs that have been disbanded because our guys, now there's approximately 20 in our program, we're out every afternoon shining the light and sharing about the program, sharing their testimony of what God's done in their life. And it's shifted the whole thing. The drug corners have shifted across other parts of the town. And we've put up a brand new education building, debt-free. It's close to $1 million building. We've put up a transitional house for extended care, life care for these students that graduate. And we've recently acquired a 90-acre campus to open up a women's Teen Challenge Center in Bridgeville, Delaware. It's located off of Rifle Range Road. It's already got two dormitories, a multi-purpose building, and a daycare center on it. Councilmen, councilwomen, we need to help women.
No kidding.
Women are forgotten.
Exactly.
I've grew up in Sussex County on a hog and chicken farm. My five great grandfather Elijah gave the land for Carrie's campground. I have a heart for Sussex County. I have the model to run a successful program. It's not me. I just got the heart to be the hands and the legs. And we need to get this program up for women and women that have neglected their children because of addiction. And it'll be a women-run program with the oversight of our board of directors. But I flew out to Arizona to the original Home of Hope, which is the Teen Challenge pioneer for pregnant women, women, single women, and women with children that are abused. And we believe that when a woman comes in broken, that they need to bring their child, five and under, with them so that they can each fall in love with God, and then they fall in love with each other all over again. It's documented. It's successful. There's been families, destinies changed, communities changed, and we need to help women. So that's my big passion. The success of the program speaks for itself. It's not just words, it's actions, and it's proof that's already been validated. And but I want to come back and talk to you later on about this women's center. And I've got a PowerPoint presentation later on already to go.
Do the children come in with them?
They do. Mm-hmm. And even pregnant women that are addicted to crack and heroin come in, or prescription medication, and we run them down a nanny coke when they're ready to deliver. But this is something that this center is the largest geographically teen challenge women's center in the nation. Mm-hmm. And our center has won national honors 3 years in a row. And I want to continue as long as I have left on this earth to drive this thing, to get it open and to help these women.
It's open to all races and all religions and
it
all.
It is. It is.
Okay.
Whosoever, mm-hmm. Councilwoman okay. Deaver, whosoever, we want to help.
Mr. Carey, your grant request today, is that for what you're talking about, the women's thing, or this is
it
something
is not.
Different?
It
this is
not.
Something different.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Let's talk about this grant request then,
sure.
too. What's this?
Emergency.
This is an emergency grant to help subsidize all those men that we've helped, that their families have been disenfranchised because of their addictions. And it costs us $1,500 a day or a month per student, not day, a month per student, in order to get them the proper counseling, training. They get teeth pulled. They go to the hospital. We're running them all around. We're taking them, and we have teachers. We have curriculum in place, and that's a marginal cost compared to what regular 30-day rehabs cost nowadays. And so we eat a lot of that ourselves, but we come to places like this and ask for help.
Mr. Curry, you said 88% a while ago the success rate. What is the state's success rate? Do you know about what, 20%, something like that?
CREST program and the Gateway program and some of those programs are 11 to 18%.
So this success. Is the biggest, this is really the biggest bang for the buck. For one reason is instead these people become a burden to society and menaces, and actually they're menaces because no doubt these people have robbed me, has stole my golf carts and all these other equipment I've stole around farm air, is probably drug addicted. Well, and so almost everyone in here in the community has been touched by these people that are really on drugs. And if we can lift them from drugs and put them back into society instead of being a burden in jails, they will become a taxpayer and help us instead of pay the taxes. So I can see where this is almost a win-for-win, is that way I understand what you're presenting.
Absolutely. I don't have the percentages today, but if you go into the penal institutions and you poll the crimes that were committed at any level, usually you'll find that they were alcohol or drug induced.
So well, when they, oh, I'm sorry.
I was getting ready to offer an amount from my account.
You have a
I'm
question,
just curious what. I know different missions do things like this. There'll be the Catholic, the Protestant. Is yours a particular religion that, you know, how does that work?
We're faith-based. We believe in God. We believe in Christ.
Okay.
Gotcha. And the success is because of that.
Okay.
But it's more than just words. I mean, we live it out in front of these students, mm-hmm. and when they've been stepped on and neglected and maybe have just lost everything mm-hmm. because of their addictions, we step in and we show them
well,
concern.
Well, you were likely also probably to have Protestant ministers, would you not be?
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Phillips.
I have an unusual amount simply because I promised to leave my successor half of the allocated amount for this current fiscal year, but I'd like to put $3,456.85 in toward this grant request for emergency funding, and hopefully that'll be in addition to other council persons' grant
and
funding.
Nothing to do with any of your fundraisers, right, Vance?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that the party that you invite everybody to? Don't you have a watermelon teen challenge party every year?
This has nothing to do with that.
It has nothing to do with the grant money here.
Well, it was.
Kind of surprised you'd even bring that up.
Well, it is.
Anyone else care to?
Is what it is.
Let's just try to round it off, Gina, to $5,000 so the rest of the council make up the difference, and we'll give them a $5,000 total grant.
Second.
I think we're giving $5,000 apiece.
We just made a motion. She seconded.
Motion and second.
They asked for 10, and you want to give them 25.
We said five.
Can you get five?
Five.
I was prepared to give them $5,000.
Five. Mr. Wilson's in for five.
I really think it's a good investment.
It is a good investment.
Because as long as they keep, in my neighborhood, I mean, they have really ripped us down the whole road, one end to the other, on a 8-9 mile road. They have stolen anything they can get their hands on, and I know they got to be drug addicted. They got to be addiction. They just can't be normal thieves that they are. God help them. Anyway, they're in bad shape for front thieves.
Well, people don't steal.
I think they're stealing from everybody. I really
people
do.
Don't steal and rob people to send their kids to college.
Mr. Phillips, your amount was how much?
It cost us about $37,000 for one prisoner. And if we can turn these guys around instead of $30,000, this is cheap. Cheap investment.
Mr. President, if you'll give me just about 10 seconds, I'll have the figure that's needed. Ms. Jennings, it would appear that if we could divide $1,543.15 by the remaining council members, it would equal the $10,000 that was requested.
Right, and that would be $514.38.
For council member?
For the last three to give $10,000 total.
So individually it would be?
So what I have would be $5,000 Sam Wilson, $3,456.85 from Vance Phillips.
Put $1,000 from me.
$1,000
from you.
Mr. Okay.
94585 and then.
Cheaper all the time, Jim.
We have one of those up in Ellendale. It's a very big one, very big program
that,
like this.
That would be $271.58 from.
So moved.
Second. We had to get rid of the first motion.
We have a motion and a second to grant a total of $10,000 in Delmarva Teen Challenge for emergency grant for operating costs. Mrs. Jennings read those numbers off previously, so we're okay with those. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Obvious motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kerr.
Thank you.
Next, Mrs. Jennings.
Do you have 2 minutes?
No.
Can I?
Well, we got a big. We got a real big agenda.
Here,
not really.
After our.
Okay.
After
gotcha.
We adjourn, I want to.
Thank
get
you,
you
very
up
much.
There.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Ms. Jennings.
Okay, the next one is the Kiwanis Club of Greater Millsboro. They're requesting $1,000 for the Sussex Tech Key Club. It's a leadership group sponsored by the club. The money will be used for the Key Club students to attend the Capital Key Club District Leadership Conference. The training is designed to help students learn new skills, build character, and foster leadership abilities. There have been no past grants to this organization.
Sussex Tech.
Yes. So it's the Kiwanis
it's
Club
by the
of,
whole
Millsboro.
County.
Of Millsboro is going to fund Sussex Tech
no, it's
Key Club.
State.
That's your town.
Have any motions?
I'll contribute $1,000 from my account.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $1,000 from Mr. Phillips' account to the Kiwanis Club of Greater Millsboro for the Sussex Tech Key Club for conference costs. Questions on the motion?
I'm a little reluctant to, with the way Sussex Tech is funded, but I would certainly go along with this one.
Any more questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Obviously, motion carried. Next.
Delaware State University Alumni Association is requesting sponsorship of the holiday dinner dance to raise funds for deserving students from Sussex County that are attending Delaware State University. There is no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $500, which was $100 from each council member.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Sir. Phillips, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $500 to Delaware State University Alumni Association for a scholarship fundraiser, being $100 from each council person's account.
I would rather give it directly to the scholarship fund. This is dinner and, what is it, dinner and some kind of.
It's a scholarship fundraiser.
You say you want to pay it all down, is that what you're saying?
No, we have a motion.
This is serious, Sam. It's public money.
Do we have a motion on the table, Mr.
Do we have a motion on the table?
I thought we do. I made the motion.
Yes.
Cole
seconded. That's correct. We're going to take a vote on it. Mrs. Mm-hmm. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Old business, Mr. Lank.
We
Mm-hmm.